This was the message I was going to preach last week that God didn't let me preach. But He has released me to preach it today. Isaiah 52, beginning at verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices, with their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted His people, He has redeemed Jerusalem. Hallelujah. The Lord has made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before You and we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Father, that we can take Your Word as it is written. We ask, Father, that this morning that You will open Your Word up to our understanding. Father, we confess to You that without the leading of Your Holy Spirit, our understanding is futile. But You said, Jesus, that You would send us the Holy Spirit and He would teach us all things. So Holy Spirit, come. Come as teacher this morning. Come as instructor. Come as our deliverer. And we bless You this morning in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture that Isaiah prophesied. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news. How beautiful upon the mountains are your feet as you bring the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news that this world rejects. The good news that people who in their futile understanding push aside because they think that the gospel of Jesus Christ is filled with all kinds of do's and don'ts rather than filled with the excitement and the life of God Himself. The do's and don'ts aren't there to stop you from having pleasure. The do's and don'ts are there to keep us in line with the Lord, that we can live in that freedom and live in that purity and live in that wholesomeness that He has for us. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. This is a passage of Scripture that Isaiah is speaking of those who have an evangelistic heart. Ones who want to proclaim, ones who understand that the person not knowing Jesus has an eternity, but it's not with God. And you know, on that day, when that day comes, each one of us are going to face that day of death. When that day comes, the decision that we have made will determine where we spend eternity. When I breathe my last, my destination in eternity is sealed forever. Right now it can be changed, but then it can't. The Bible says there's a great gulf fixed between God and Satan, between heaven and between hell. And there is no crossing after this life. But in this life, hallelujah, I can receive Jesus Christ as Lord. I can be taken out of darkness and placed in His marvelous light. The true evangelist, though, has an intimacy with the person of Jesus Christ and then proclaims that person. If you hear me coughing and hacking through this message, well, you just think of my wife. She's been listening to it all week. so you can have some sympathy for her. The true evangelist has an intimacy with the person of Jesus Christ and then proclaims that person. It's not the church. It's the person of Jesus Christ. Grace Christian Fellowship can't save you. You realize that this morning. Grace Christian Fellowship can't save you. You can bring all the people you want to Grace, but if they don't come to Christ, then they don't have heaven. Maybe Grace Christian Fellowship can give them a little piece of heaven here on earth, but we can't provide eternity. Only Jesus can. So we don't introduce people just to Grace, but we have to introduce them to Jesus. The message that the prophet Isaiah came forth here is a four-part message that contains the good news. The first part of that message is peace. Who proclaims peace? There's four things we proclaim. We proclaim the peace of God. We proclaim glad tidings of good things. We proclaim salvation, and we proclaim our God reigns. Those are the four proclamations that the prophet Isaiah stated in this passage. We proclaim peace. We proclaim glad tidings of good things. We proclaim salvation, and we proclaim our God reigns. Nothing has ever taken Jesus off the throne. Hallelujah. The first thing we proclaim is peace. That word peace is God's inner peace. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You see, we can be in perfect peace even in the midst of the most terrible warfare. I think of my brother John, who's over in Iraq, and he shares, some of his soldiers have shared with me. John won't say anything about it, but some of the soldiers have shared with me how John, being a Christ-centered man, in the heat of battle, is able to bring a calming and bring a peace upon the other soldiers. Right in the midst of RPGs and grenades and rockets going off all around them, John can give them peace because he has that inner peace that only Jesus can give. Jesus said, "I give you peace, not as this world gives, but as I give." You see, this world will want to give you peace exclusive of Jesus. You remember some of us, who here is an old hippie? Art, I know. Anybody else an old hippie? Uh-huh. You still wear tie-dye shirts. Yeah. Some of us old hippies. Remember the old peace? Peace, brother. We used to wear these peace signs, that round circle. You know? Peace. Peace, peace, peace. It's interesting to note that we were not interested in the peace that God would give. We wanted the peace as the world would give. And we even had that symbol, that peace symbol. We wear it around our neck. We wore it on rings. I've seen it tattooed. You know what I'm talking about, this sign right here? It's interesting to note about what that sign means. None of us knew. We just thought it meant peace. It's peace in a satanic way. That's a satanic sign. I didn't know this. I had heard about it, but I did some research last week. And I came up with some stuff about the peace sign that I thought I'd share with you this morning. It's along the lines, we're talking about the difference between what the world offers in peace and what God offers. The peace symbol, also called the broken cross, crow's foot, witch's foot, Nero cross, sign of the broken Jew, And the symbol of the Antichrist is actually a cross with the arms broken. It also magnifies the gesture of despair and the death of man. Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan, used the peace symbol as a backdrop for his altar. One former witch makes the following comment about the peace sign, the peace symbol. It is an ancient and powerful symbol of Antichrist. During the Dark Ages, it was used in Druid witchcraft and by Satanists of all sorts during the initiation of a new member to their order. They would draw the magic circle and give the initiate a cross. The initiate would then lift the cross and turn it upside down. He would then renounce Christianity in all three dimensions of time, past, present, and future, and break the horizontal pieces downward, forming the design of the raven's foot. This ugly symbol is nothing short of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. For one to wear or display this symbol is to announce, either knowingly or unknowingly, that you have rejected Christ. Remember, symbolism is a picture language, and a picture is worth a thousand words. We didn't know. Now, I believe that God forgives us for our ignorance. But the reason I share that is just simply this. The world will try to offer you a peace that is independent of the Lord. And if it's independent of the Lord, it's breathed by satanic power. That's all there is to it. There's no ifs, or ands, buzz it. No ifs, or ands about it. The Scripture says you serve one of two masters. There's no middle line. There's a whole bunch of Christians and there's a whole bunch of secular people who try to walk on that middle line, walk that fence where I'm a good boy or I'm a good girl. I pretty much stay out of trouble. Most of the time I'm okay. I don't think too awful wicked thoughts. And when I do, I just try to correct it. But I don't want to get too far into this Christian stuff because, man, that means commitment. So if I just kind of hang tight right here, I can feel good about myself, and hopefully I'll be okay. God says you serve one or two masters. Amen? One or two masters. And the world has all kinds, Satan has come up with all kinds of ways to try and deceive this world into moving away from God's peace. But God's peace is God's peace, and you cannot find it any other way. I don't care if you got a rabbit's foot. I don't care what you use to try and conjure up some kind of peace. Jesus Christ said, I am peace. I give you peace. Not as this world gives do I give. He said so clearly, he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because when you're in Christ, when you have Jesus Christ as your peace, you've got all the power in the world on your side. I like that. I like the idea of knowing that I am on the side of God. I'd hate to be on the side against Him. You know why? Because God wins. Nothing's dethroned God. Nothing has set God back. God is not a weeble. He don't wobble. We may wobble, but He doesn't wobble. He stands strong. He stands firm. And He has never... Satan has never once even come close to taking Him off the throne. So we proclaim that peace. I know where I'm going. When this old body says, it's had enough. I know where I'm going. Do you? That's peace, man. That's the kind of peace my brother has. He's not afraid to die. He don't want to die. He wants to come home to be with his wife and with his kids. He's not afraid to die. Because he knows he's in the hands of God. You see, when you're in the hand of God, and you're in Winchester, let me rephrase that. You know, being in Winchester, you can be in the hand of God. You know that today? You know, you can go to King State College, a secular school that is just filled with all kinds of philosophy stuff, and you still can be in the hands of God. You know that? Doesn't matter where you go. You can be in Iraq. You can be in the Amazon. Don and Betty Best, they're down in the Amazon. We support them in the mission field. You know, thousands of people are coming to the Lord down there. Literally thousands of people. They can't plant churches fast enough down there. They've been down there for about 2 years. They've planted over 100 churches since they've been down there. And they can't even hop in a car and drive. They go on the river by boat. They hack through the forest with machetes. And yet they're leading people to the Lord right and left. Why? Because people in the Amazon are hungry for truth. And there are people in the Amazon who are willing to bring the truth to them. That's what we are, truth bearers. This is the truth. Never been proven wrong. And yet there are so many ministries and so many churches that will deny the Word of God and set up their own standard. What a shame. I want to be on the side of truth. Amen. So we proclaim the message. We proclaim the message of peace. We proclaim glad tidings of good things. Hallelujah. I love this. The word glad tidings in the Greek is euangelizo, and it's the word that we get evangelized from. And the word evangelism simply means to proclaim messianic blessings and to bring forth good news. It's good news, man. Jesus Christ is good news. Somebody in this place look like it's good news on your face. You're all sitting there going, man, it's hot in here. Oh, man, it's just so hot in here. Yeah, it's hot in here. So what? They go home, it's going to be hot in your home. I heard that. We proclaim glad tidings of good things. Look with me in Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, there's a bit of glad tidings here. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Now it came to pass afterward that they went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided him from their sustenance. They proclaim glad tidings, and when glad tidings are proclaimed, people get healed. People get set free. That's what the glad tidings is all about. That's what the good news is. You can be set free, man. You can be set free. You can walk down the street and you can tell the drug addict down there, you can be set free. You can talk to the person who works with you, as her sister did, her boss. Can you imagine that? She took the initiative. She put her job on the line to preach to her boss. And you know what happened? She didn't get fired. She gained a sister in the Lord. Yeah! You know something? Satan got mad. He didn't like that. Satan got another one from me. Hallelujah. We proclaim glad tidings of good things. But you know, Satan does not want these things to be proclaimed. In Matthew 10, verse 34 through 39, Jesus said, in fact, turn there with me. Matthew chapter 10. This is important for us to see. Verses 34 through 39. This is going to sound just the opposite of what we said about God's peace. Do not think that I came, this is Jesus speaking, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. See, this is not a contradiction to John chapter 14 when Jesus said, I came to give peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. What he's saying here is, I'm not going to give peace. I didn't come to bring peace on earth. I came to give peace in your heart. But if you truly follow Jesus, then there's going to become division. There's going to become division. When you make a stand for righteousness, when you make a stand for truth, when you say Jesus Christ is my Lord and He is my Savior, there's going to become opposition in your life. If you're truly proclaiming it. Jesus isn't saying, I came purposefully to divide you. But what He did say is that if you're going to choose me, then there is going to become division in your life. There will be those that won't have anything to do with you because you're a religious nut. My own family. I thank God my brother John, born again. He loves the Lord. But I got other ones in my family that think I'm a religious nut. They just thought, you know, well, gee, when you lived on the street and you're all wrapped up in drugs and all the things that were going on with, you know, you were stupid. You were ridiculous. You were a nothing. You wasted your life. Then I found Jesus. Rather, Jesus found me. And you know something? He began to change me. And those things left me. I'm not perfect. Don't think I am. If you think I am, ask Kathy. Ask my kids. They'll tell you. I'm not perfect. Ask my elders. They'll tell you. I'm not perfect. That's fine. They aren't either. But the fact is that because I became a Jesus freak, a religious fanatic, my family, a couple of my brothers, my sister, they think that, you know, well, you know, you're just, well, you know, I'm glad it got you off drugs, man. You just do your thing, but, you know, you're out there. And the danger in that is that we end up shutting up because we don't want to deal with people putting us down. We seal our lips because we don't want to appear as being some sort of a fruitcake. We nullify the testimony of our life because we don't want people to really see us as being that far out of the ordinary. And Jesus was very clear. He said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. See, God is calling his daughters and his sons to be the warriors he has equipped us to be. Jesus Christ hung on a cross in all that pain and preached salvation to the man that was hanging on the cross next to him. And Jesus expects the same from us. You see, we have a message of glad tidings, of good things. We need to cop this attitude of, okay, you want to laugh at me? Laugh at me! And I will be on my knees for you. And I will pray for you. And I will witness to you. And I'm going to tell you, whether you wanted to hear it or not, Jesus Christ loves you. The prophet Isaiah said, that was the third thing we proclaimed, salvation, Yeshua. Salvation. Peter said it this way. There's no other name found under heaven whereby man must be saved. It's by Jesus Christ. That's the only name. And it's the name that is defamed and put down and ridiculed. By a world that needs that name. That needs to know Jesus. Not just as a man. But Jesus Christ as Son of God. As Jesus Christ the Messiah. As Jesus the one who paid the price for our sins that we can't pay. The one who loved us so much that hung on that cross and endured so much pain for so many hours when at any given time could have said a word and he and a legion of angels would have been there to whisk him away. Where he wouldn't have to deal with the pain anymore. He wouldn't have to deal with the ridicule anymore. Where he wouldn't have had to deal with being put down anymore. That he wouldn't have been had to deal with being looked at as the laughing stock anymore. Where he wouldn't have had to been spit on anymore. Where he wouldn't have had to deal with all of that stuff. Just a breath, just a word, and a whole legion of angels would have been there to rescue him. Why? Because he's God. And he chose not to. He chose to endure that pain on the cross. He chose to endure the ridicule. He chose to endure being put down and treated as though he was some kind of a freak. He chose to deal with all of that. And I dare say that any type of persecution has ever come our way that here in this room, we have never had to deal with one iota of a tenth of what Jesus has had to deal with. You see, Jesus was not ashamed of salvation. He hung on the cross naked for all to see. Willingly, completely, lovingly, so that you and I would not have to. That you and I, all we have to do is receive Him as Lord and Savior. And then we can proclaim those words that came out of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar bunch. Amen. That we may proclaim the praises of Him who has taken us out of darkness and placed us in His marvelous light. Hallelujah. Oh man, I tell you, I am so glad Jesus found me. I am so glad that He gave me the privilege of knowing Him as my Lord and Savior. I am so happy that He loves me. I mean, if anybody's a fruitcake, it's got to be Jesus. He loves us, even in the midst of our sins. He died for us. Most people would say that's got to be an idiot. But it's not. It's a perfect picture of the divine love of God. And this is what we have been given to proclaim. This is the message that takes people out of darkness and places them in the marvelous light of Jesus. And you know something? You never really know how much darkness you've come out of until you place yourself into the light of God. Because most people think they're walking in pretty much light anyways. But without Jesus, it's an artificial light. So we proclaim the message of peace. We proclaim the message of glad tidings of good things. We proclaim the message of salvation. And we proclaim the message, according to Isaiah, our God reigns. Our God reigns. Say that with me. Our God reigns. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 6:15 says, He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Revelation talks about Him having a sash saying, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That He is the one and the only. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is everything in between. This world can live. Have you seen the bumper sticker I love this bumper sticker. Rick had it on his last truck. Poor truck he's got now. It says, if you live like hell, you better be right. But no, if you live like there is no hell, you better be right. Yeah, I better get that bumper sticker right. Blow the whole message. Our God reigns. He reigned before there was anything. He reigned as he spoke stars into existence. He reigned when he looked on the face of the earth, and the Bible says that it was void. And he began to speak. And things began to be created on the earth, of plants and vegetables and air and the seas and the fish in the seas and the animals and all of this. And he just spoke it into existence. You see, he reigned then. He was God then. He was God when he took that rib out of Adam and created Eve. And presented Eve to Adam. He was God. When Adam came to God and said, yes, I did eat. It was that woman you gave me. She did make me eat. She tricked me and she made me eat. It was your fault, God. That woman you gave me. And he shouldn't have said that, because God said, hey, now you're going to marry her for the rest of your life, man. He got her. You see, God is God. And this world tries to make God into this little pliable piece of Play-Doh. And fit him and mold him and create him into an image of man. They take the authority of the Word of God out. They take the move of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit out. And they begin to form this God that they say that they can worship, because this God won't rattle their cage. This God won't bring correction and chastisement. This God is what we want Him to be. You look throughout the Old Testament and you see where society after society after society created their Baals, created their gods, formed their gods, and God Almighty melted every single one of them. God Almighty burned every single one of them. God Almighty destroyed nations because of it. Because God Almighty will not be mocked. Because God is God and He can't be made into Play-Doh. You see, we cannot form God into our image. He formed us into His. Hallelujah. And that's one of the things that we proclaim. Our God reigns. You can live your life like He doesn't exist. But every single soul will come face to face with Him one day. And I want to come face to face with God as my Savior, not as my judge. Because I've done a lot of wicked things. I've done wicked things you know not of. I don't proclaim it. Some of you sitting here can say the same thing. The Bible says all sin falls short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter how wicked it is that you've done. If you sin, it's wickedness. And that's what Jesus paid the price for. And we proclaim, our God reigns. Our God reigns. Can you say that this morning? Our God reigns. Hallelujah. Somebody look like you're excited about God, will you? Man, I'll tell you, everything we see He created with a spoken word, even you. Your mom and dad think they had something to do with it, but you know, God had a part in it too. You see, Becky, when you were born, God didn't look down and say, okay, now what am I going to do with that? Each and every one of us had a specific plan, has a specific purpose in our lives, and it will never be realized outside of God. Why? Because God is God. And if it can be realized outside of God, then God isn't God. Why do we sin so much? Because we have this hole that is here, and it can't be filled up by anything but God, and we try and fill it up with so many other things. And we fill it up and it goes empty. And we fill it up and it goes empty. And we sin and we fill it up and it goes empty. God's saying, just let me fill it. You said that you learned last week, we don't have to sin. You're right. We don't have to. Problem is, we want to. God said, let me fill you. Let me fill you. Let me reign in your heart. Hallelujah. God is good.